Ramsey TV.
I checked the comments recently on yesterday's video to see if Stan had commented on that show yesterday. I was kind of rough on old Stan, but Stan did say that he hopes that there's another 2,000 years of this wicked eon. I kind of called him to task for that. Yes, kind of. I did it rather assertively, and I hope he's okay. I was looking for him to comment to make sure everything was cool, and he accepted the rebuke in the best possible sense. It was a public comment. So I am, and my response was public as well. I want to look at marriage, and there's another false idea along the lines of the era is limitless, and it has to do with marriage. And this is very telling, and I think it helps explain why Clyde, for instance, and Stephen Hill would adopt the Acts 28 position. And honestly, it may, this, I'm not saying this is the case, but it may even be that the appeal of the Acts 28 position is that it makes every early letter of Paul's, the advice therein, obsolete. And if you are an individual who, let's say, is totally absorbed by domestic matters, and you love the family life, as everyone should, but you unduly love it, you want to hold on to it for as long as you possibly can, at the expense of the Lord coming quickly, then the Acts 28:28 position allows you to take Paul's advice in 1 Timothy 2:7 and to actually not take Paul's advice in 1 Corinthians 7:29. That whole chapter 7 about domestic life. If you love domestic life, you are not going to like 1 Corinthians chapter 7, because what Paul is saying is that domestic life is not the ideal. That's what he's saying. It's a calling, but it's not the calling. But if you are an individual who absolutely flips out and loves domestic life, I loved it. I'd be honest with you, I loved it when I was in it. But I never loved it at the expense of, don't come quickly, Lord Jesus, please let there be another 2,000 years to this wicked eon. And somebody commented on that video yesterday, and I appreciate this, that Galatians 1:4, case closed, the current wicked eon. Oh, along that line, I've been referencing it, and that's 2 Timothy chapter 3, and there's an important part of this. It hit me while I was running this morning, and this is another knockdown verse that closes the case. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3, this is prophecy. Paul says, now this know, I'm in verse 1, now this know, that in the last days, perilous periods will be present, for men will be selfish. I think that's humans in the Concordant Version, not just men will be selfish, fond of money, ostentatious, proud, because there are some women, a few, there are just a smattering of women who are selfish, fond of money, ostentatious, and proud. So I do believe that I'm reading from my computer version of the Concordant Version, but I believe that in the Greek it's humans, not just men, not the male of the species. For humans in the last days, humans will be selfish, fond of money, ostentatious, proud, calumniators, stubborn to parents, ungrateful, malign, without natural affection, implacable, adversaries, uncontrollable, fierce, averse to the good, traitors, rash, conceited, fond of their own gratification rather than fond of God, having a form of devoutness yet denying its power. These also shun, for of these are those who are slipping into homes, leading into captivity little women. Ooh, that's an insult right there. I don't want to get into that because it's politically incorrect. That's not why I don't want to get into it. Actually, it's because I want to get to my main point. Little women, heaped with sins, being led by various lusts and gratifications, always learning, yet not at any time to be able to come to a realization of the truth. Now, I want to go down to verse 12 of this same chapter. All who are wanting to live devoutly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. Really, who will we be persecuted by? By all the people in this list. Those who are selfish, fond of money, ostentatious, proud, calumniators, stubborn to parents, ungrateful, malign, but chiefly of all, those who are fond of their own gratification rather than fond of God. This is not necessarily, and I don't think it's primarily talking about people who like just try to get every single drop out of life their own gratification, because it says they're fond of their own gratification rather than fond of God. I think this speaks especially of religious gratification. Free will falls into this category. What a luscious description of somebody who believes in free will. They're fond of their own gratification rather than fond of God. They don't want to hear that God is in control of their every movement. They don't want to hear that they can't believe apart from God. They don't want to hear it. But here's this in verse 12. All who are wanting to live devoutly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. And verse 13 is what came to me when I was running. Yet wicked humans and swindlers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The two words that came out at me is worse and worse. This one verse gives you the trend of the current wicked eon. Notice it does not say better and better. Notice it does not say more and more people embracing our wonderful message of grace. No, but it says wicked humans and swindlers shall wax worse and worse. The longer this thing goes, the worse it gets. I said that yesterday, but I didn't give you a verse for it because I forgot I had this one at my ready disposal. And here it is. Wicked humans and swindlers shall wax worse and worse. Who are the wicked humans? What wickedness? Go through the whole list again. Selfish, fond of money, ostentatious, proud, so on and so forth. Those people will be getting worse and worse. And I've been making this case for years. Yet people tell me, some people tell me that, oh, Martin, this age, just like every other age, there's nothing different in this life, in this current time, than has existed in times past. Oh, yes, there is. Even in my short life, I'm a young fella, even in my short life, back when I was in school, the worst thing that ever happened in school was you were passing notes in class, you were chewing gum, or you were talking. That's it. That's the worst thing. Now they're shooting each other in school. School shootings. Killing people in school. Well, it says here, right here. Worse and worse. So I'm going to pick on Stan one more time to say that if you want this to go on another 2,000 years, and I quote poor Stan again, Stan Duncan, who said, I hope this era, this time we're in, goes on another 2,000 years. Let me see here. Wicked men and swindlers shall wax worse and worse. This is interesting. I thought of this too. 2,000 years, worse and worse. We've already existed 2,000 years from Christ, yes? And I'm wondering if the first worse applies to the first 1,000 years, and the second worse applies to the second 1,000 years. This is just me talking, but I think this is interesting. Worse and worse. 2 days, 2 metaphoric days. 1,000 years is as a day, and it's going worse and worse. That's the trend. And if you, I would like Stan to confront this, and Clyde too. If you are hoping that this era goes on and on, and that it would be just fine, and you don't have this longing in your heart, you might want to examine your soul, spirit, and let's see, soul, spirit. What would you have to examine to keep you from wanting bad things to keep going on and on? on that would be fine with you. You would have to examine your spirit. You would have to examine your soul. Oh, examine the news once in a while. Okay, examine the news. So that's the trend. And so I say that anyone who wants this life to go on needs to repent of it in light of this verse and in light of Galatians 1, verse 4. Now, instead of olive oil for my voice, you can tell my voice is already going. Olive oil doesn't taste very good when you drink it straight. I found that out the last few days. So I'm going to try some ultra-pasteurized heavy whipping cream. If I could find non-pasteurized heavy whipping cream, I would use it. If I could get it directly out of the cow, like right here on the air, I would do it, but I can't, so I'm going to have to go with this. Okay, it goes down smooth. What if you are not married? What if you don't have a family? What if you don't have a dog or a cat? What if you're kind of a lonely person and you think you're missing out on life and you think that life has passed you by and God has passed you by? What if you think God has passed you by? Because you see people going to church and they all have these wonderful families and they look very happy. And I will admit to you, part of me envies them because the best time of my life was when I had a wife and kids and I was raising three sons. I absolutely loved it. Now I find myself single and I don't like being single. I hate it, but I think it's part of my trials. It's part of my trial because God is not seeing clear for me not to be single. So going back to the Bible Student's Notebook, volume 488, and the article, The Era is Limitless. I must continue here. I hope this isn't getting old. I hope it's not getting too like, God, man, Zender's really hammering Clyde. When's he going to quit? I'm not quitting yet. I can't quit yet. We got to go on. Now, look at this. Our focus during this era. This is important. I need to tell you this. I need to read this because I don't want anybody to be tricked by this. And people can easily be tricked by this, right? Stan was tricked by it. Thinks, yeah, I should be wanting this wonderful era of grace to keep going on. As you heard yesterday, it's not an era of grace. It's an era of wickedness. Now, quoting from Clyde Pilkington, volume 488, and we're going to get a quote from Stephen Hill here as well. Going to get two for one. Our focus during this era, that is the name of the section that I'm quoting from now. Quote, Ephesians represents the pinnacle of Paul's revelation. Here he lays forth the secret economy. I don't like that word economy. I like the word administration. But anyway, he lays forth the secret economy in which we now live today. In this epistle, rather than promoting, that's not what he says here, rather than prompting singleness and a weaning of domestic life, I think he meant to say promoting. In this epistle, rather than promoting singleness and a weaning of domestic life, as he had done previously in 1 Corinthians 7, he tells us that domestic life now has a paramount place in spirituality, unquote. This, I cannot believe. Quote, Paul is telling us, according to Clyde Pilkington, that domestic life now has a paramount place in spirituality. I'm going to blow that up because if you think that, then you are going to go into, perhaps you will go into a domestic life thinking that this is the paramount thing. This is the most important thing. This is the highest form of spirituality. And he says that later. I'm going to get to it. It's disturbing, but again, I need to cut this off at the pass. I think John Wayne would have done it. Tell you what, we got to cut that verse off at the pass. That's incorrect. It's right, John. It's incorrect. Clyde assumes that with this supposed change in eras, singleness is no longer the ideal, and domestic life now has a paramount place in spirituality. I tell you, this should come as bad news to those of you who are single. And our brother also subtly assumes here that a loose hold upon the world and its ties necessarily weans away your love for and your dedication to those ties. He seems to say that one's love for and dedication to your family members would be compromised if you were to adapt Paul's advice in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. That is, those having wives be as though not having them, women, those of you who have husbands, be as though not having them. Again, I said it before, I'll say it again today. This does not mean that you pretend like they're not there. It doesn't mean that you don't love them any less. It doesn't mean that you don't take care of them any less. But it is assumed that it does mean that. I am now going to quote from volume 47 of Bible Student's Notebook. This is Stephen Hill, who is in line with Clyde on this teaching. Now, quote from Stephen Hill, when Paul instructed married believers to live as though they were not married and unmarried believers to remain single as he was, it was because he believed that Christ would be returning very soon. And why would Paul exhort unmarried believers to remain single as he was? Stephen Hill says it's because he believed Christ would be returning very soon. Let me first ask you this question as I ask it to myself. Why would the imminent return of Christ make you not want to get married if you wanted to get married, if you had to get married, if you needed to be married? If Christ was coming tomorrow, just get married today. Enjoy it. Go to your wedding reception. You're going to get all kinds of presents. Your bride is going to look absolutely gorgeous in this beautiful white gown. And, you know, I'm not discounting marriage or disparaging it in any way. I'm just saying it's not the ideal. But if you want to get married and you need to get married, and Paul even says, like, okay, listen, I am promoting singleness. And yes, and this is universal. This applies today just as much as it did then. Paul is promoting singleness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he's setting out a series of ideals and then concessions. Ideals and concessions. Ideals and concessions. He wants everybody to be like him. Are we now to believe that Paul doesn't want anybody to be like him? Don't be like me. I'm a radical. Don't be like me. Get married. Have sex. Have kids. Oh, did I say have sex? Yeah. Okay. Well, do that. Do that too. Oh, your wedding night. My God. Get married. If you knew that Jesus Christ was coming tomorrow, I would get married and have sex all night and then get snatched away in the morning. What is not to like about that plan? So, and I really would advise this if you had to get married. I mean, my first advice would be to stay unattached. But Martin, I really need to be married. Oh, and there was a young man who said, commented on one of my videos on this topic. He said, Martin, I met this beautiful girl and she's just a wonderful person. She's a believer and she's very kind. She's very sweet. And the desire of my heart is to be with her for the rest of my life. I want to marry her. And I said, dude, I envy you. I envy you. Go for it. Because it's in his heart to do it. Now, this young man never came up to me and said, Martin, should I get married? Because then I would have said, no, don't do it. Don't do it. And then he would have explained to me, but I have this amazing, and he would have gone through the whole thing. And then I would have said, well, okay, you fit into that category. Paul says that, okay, if you can't handle the single life, then you don't sin if you marry. And then so I would give that advice, but then like Paul, I would give the advice, it's better to stay single if you can, okay? But if you can't handle it because you love the idea of being married, then for God's sake, get married. Sometimes I wonder about myself, because I was happy when I was married with kids. But I tell you what, now I'm not going to say that. I will say this, though, that so many people are screwed up today. So many people have had terrible childhoods. So many people have been abused as youths that it's hard to find any well-adjusted person in this eon to dedicate your life to. You have to be very, very careful. And even when you are very, very careful, then things can go bad. So it's just good advice to stay out of it. Stay out of that gig if you can. And that's Paul's advice through this whole 2,000 years. He hasn't changed it. And he certainly hasn't changed it in Ephesians, as I'm going to show you. But listen to this. Paul, again, I'll just start quoting from verse 29 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This I am averring, brethren, the era is limited. Furthermore, those having wives be as though not having them. Those lamenting is not lamenting. Those rejoicing is not rejoicing. Those buying as not retaining. And those using this world as not using it up. For the fashion of this world is passing by. Now I want you to be without worry. Repeat, I want you to be without worry. That's Paul. That is why. That's his reason. Because he wants the saints to be without worry, without concern, without fret, without, again, that word worry in the Greek, it's Mariano, something. That sounds like an Italian cheese. No, wait a minute. Or a wool. Some kind of wool. M-A-R-I-A-N-O. That's the Greek word. Anyway, I do know the English elements of the Greek word translated worry in the Concordant version, and it's part remind. P-A-R-T. Dash remind. It's marriage or any part of life is consists of any enterprise in this life consists of parts, 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 parts. Go to a hardware store and you'll see what life is all about. Parts, 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 parts. There's all kinds of screws, nuts, bolts, things, and just in little drawers. Okay, little drawers. You pull this drawer out, you get washers. This drawer out, you get screws. This drawer out, you get. That's all I know about hardware. Washers and screws. What else is there? That's it. Oh, nails? There's nails? What else? Hinges? I don't know. There's all kinds of different parts. And remind. You constantly have to remind yourself when you're in any enterprise, especially marriage. Part remind. There's all sorts of little parts you have to worry about. And to remind, you have to be reminded constantly of when your spouse's birthday is, when your anniversary is, when your kid's birthday is. You need to know, you know, when the dog needs to go to get the bath, when the dog needs to go to get the cut, when the kids need to get their hair cut. It's a part remind. Paul says, I want you to be without that. I want you to be without that. What are we going to say? That now Paul wants people to be with worry? This, again, screws up the whole, and I'm glad when it's screwed up. It screws up the whole Acts 28:28 position, which says that this stuff is irrelevant. This early letter of Paul doesn't apply to us because it was written before Paul was in prison. Paul says, I want you to be without worry. That's the reason. This is why I can say with confidence, again, and I'm going to get more into marriage here, that, saying this with confidence, that this, all of Paul's letters and the advice like this, speaking to the saints, it goes all the way through. Otherwise, you would have to say that, well, in that era, Paul wanted them to be without worry. But in this era, obviously this modern era where the return of Christ has been delayed, Paul would be all for the saints being worried. He wants them to be constantly reminding themselves of little things, wife's birthday, the screws, nuts, bolts, dog shampoo, all these things. But no, consistently without worry. I'm happy that Paul feels that way about us today. I'm happy he felt that way about the Corinthians. It's good advice in any era, whether Christ's return is 2 minutes away, 2.5 minutes away, or 2 weeks away, or 2 years away. It's always good advice to not be worried, to live today, and to forevermore, as long as we're walking on this planet, to keep a loose hold on everything except Christ and our expectation of Christ.